Hello, Buglers. Fancy another mince pie? Good. Well, here you're getting one in audio form. I'm Andy Zaltzman, and here is our top story from Bugle issue 282, entitled "'Twas the Dick Before Christmas." In 2014, it seems that even eggnog and a fine scotch couldn't calm the nerves of some global alpha dicks.
Top story this week, it's the My Country Tis a Dick Bugle Special! And it must have been around a month ago, Andy, when you suggested that buglers from around the world email in suggestions for why their country had been the biggest dick on the planet the previous week. And I think I was probably expecting three or four entries, but incredibly, within days, we had been hit by an electronic tsunami of self-loathing. It was truly both heartwarming and slightly horrifying to receive so many emails from people all over the planet, all making impassioned and well-documented pitches for why their nations had been the most emphatic penis of the previous 7 days. There was ultimately, though, something deeply uplifting about so many people being so anxious to call bullshit on themselves. These emails, I think, could either demonstrate humanity's hope or its ultimate doom, Andy. Either way, they were very entertaining.
Yeah, this is the contest we've all been waiting for, the My Country Tis a Dick. Can reigning champions, the UK, be knocked off top spots? Now, the year, John, has been scarred and gouged by a frankly unusual preponderance of what might be charitably described as extreme levels of national naughtiness. And not just nations, terrorists, viruses and Putins the world over have frankly left a lot to be desired. But this award is not about megalomaniac leaders or pseudo-religious franchises or diseases being... It's about nations being dicks. And that is a very important differentiation for the purposes of this competition, albeit a differentiation fraught with legal technicalities, as the International Criminal Court in The Hague would no doubt testify. And above all, it has been about you, buglers, as John said, sending in your nominations for your own country's dickish behaviours, holding up the mirror to the face of your own countries and saying to those countries, can you not see that massive scar you've inflicted all over your own face? Many of the countries, which are the biggest dicks, of course, don't always allow people to email British-American podcasts to report on their dickishness, so the list of entries might not be quite as exhaustive as it could be. But still, here it is, the Bugle My Country Tis a Dick Award, seconds out, round two!
And we start with Mexico. Mexico makes a very good case, Andy, for being one of the strongest, spiciest dick nations on the globe. Its dickishness level is muy caliente, Andrew. So we had an email from Sam in Mexico who wrote, my country is a dick because it's a slaughterhouse, one of the most dangerous places in the globe to be a journalist. Our youngsters all around the country being massacred in the name of the war on against drugs, even toddlers while they're at school, and our president has no clue what's going on around him. As in the words of Kurtz, the horror. And one last thing, he says, if Andy loves penguins, as John is horrified by the vision of abused donuts, how is it that you are not discussing the shocking news of penguins being sexually assaulted by fur seals? It's really troubling. You can check it on the BBC. Cheers, Sam. Now, I have to say, Andy, it's a rare email that can begin talking about the assassination of journalists in Mexico and then end a couple of sentences later discussing the sexual abuse of penguins by seals. I don't know if he's arguing that Mexico's the biggest dick, or that seals are the biggest dicks, or that Mexican seals are hypothetically the absolute worst. Just for the record, just to take a slight tangent early on here, I took Sam's advice, and I did check the story on the BBC, and it turned out to be appallingly true. Seals were spotted sexually assaulting penguins by Nico de Bruyne, of the Mammal Research Institute at the University of Pretoria, South Africa. And he argues, De Bruyne, that the increasing number of cases of seal-on-penguin sex crimes suggest learnt behaviour on the part of seals. And he says, seals have capacity for learning. We know this from their foraging behaviour, for example. But if this is learnt behaviour, we really can't think of what the reward may be for these young males, other than perhaps learning that these birds are an easier target to practice their copulating skills. And that, Andy, makes it even worse. Seals are just using penguins for practice. How is that supposed to make the penguins feel, other than emotionally and probably physically, crushed? And I can I can frankly never look at seals in the same way again, Andy. I used to think they were hilarious, but now I can't think of them as anything other than sexual predators to penguins. All I can see in my mind is a hungover seal waking up in the morning next to a penguin, looking over, honking, oh no, and trying to slide away on its stomach before the penguin wakes up. Seals are like Bill Cosby, Andy. They're universally beloved and naturally funny, but that has covered up some absolutely unforgivable behaviour in the past. Seals
of Mexico, a dance as old as time itself. There was another email from an American living in Mexico called Sydney T, highlighting how the government has apparently been basically spiking peaceful protests with violent people to make the protests less peaceful. And it's an email that concludes rather delightfully. In conclusion, Mexico is one gigantic, throbbing, grotesquely veined dick.
Nicely put, Sydney.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how drunk you are when you're looking at your atlas, but I guess it's got a touch of that about it. The next nominee is for the USA, and this comes from Morten in Norway, who complains that...
Morten. Hey, Morten. Yeah, you deal with your Norwegian shit before you pick on the greatest country on God's earth.
Well, this is a very valid point, John. Morten has complained about Michigan passing legislation allowing emergency workers to opt out of treating critically ill gay people if it goes against their religious beliefs. But listen up, Morten. This competition is not about snitching on other people's countries. It is about shopping your own nation.
Exactly.
Even if certain states in those other people's countries have basically made it legally acceptable for an emergency worker to say, no, I'm going to let this one die, and I think God is going to be pretty pleased with me on this one. It is a win-win situation. This is not your call, Morten, from your economic...
Not your point to make, Morten.
No, from your economic powerhouse with your rock-solid public finances and your comprehensive welfare provision and your eye-wateringly expensive bottled water and your increasingly uneasy relationship with the concept of immigration and your massive sense of excitement that Andy Zaltzman will be appearing in Oslo at the Crap Comedy on the 24th of January. It's not your call to make, Morten. Besides, we also had Norway nominated by Kaja and Maria Watner, and I'm sorry if I pronounced that massively wrong. This email goes like this. Okay, Norway may not be the first country that springs to mind when dicks are mentioned, but this past year it's been acting like it's pretty keen to get a place in this competition. Here are a few examples of how, if you'll pardon the pun, hard it's been trying lately. Nice to see someone throw that one in early on. Norway's newly elected Conservative government recently passed a national budget which includes wealth tax cuts and abolishes inheritance tax, giving the wealthiest a total of a 6 billion kroner tax reduction. That's around half a billion pounds. With Norway actually literally the world's richest country, the Norwegians benefiting from this budget are in the world elite of the well-to-do. And who pays for this present for the prosperous? To finance these tax cuts, the government acts chooses to fall on and slash the pitiful monthly benefit reserved for parents of families in the poorest percentile, many of whom are single parents, surviving on their meagre incapacity benefit from the national insurance scheme. While this, Norway, is what we all fought the Cold War for, to enrich the rich, to enwealth the wealthy, and to further impoverish the already impoverished, I think. Anything else would be dishonouring the memory of all the people who would have died in a global nuclear conflict had it actually happened, and that includes me, potentially. So I find that deeply offensive that you should have nominated your country for this. You also add that it's also been a bad time in this country, which has basically, as you say, won the world lottery for Syrian refugees. The spacious, wealthy and sparsely populated Norway has grudgingly accepted its international obligation to take in Syrian refugees. A staggering wave of a full 1,000 Syrian refugees has been accepted in 2014, compared with neighbouring Sweden, equal in size but not in petroleum wealth, who have taken nearly 30,000 refugees from Syria this year. And Syria has had a bad year. Okay, how many is that in a row? Three or four? I think they get to keep themselves, don't they? Three in a row?
It's not definitely sure. A hat-trick.
Yeah. But wait, there's more, continues the email. Norway insists on defying the UNHCR's recommendations by refusing to take in the minimum amount of refugees. Undeniably a dickish move. And the dick does not stop there. It keeps on dickishly moving. Norway also overrules the UNHCR's selection criteria by adding its own exclusively Norwegian screening, excluding anyone with a physical handicap or psychological trauma. That's right, they will accept a tragically small number of war refugees and then refuse anyone who's A, hurt, or B, traumatised by war. So that is...
Fuck you, Norway.
That is quite a strong... That is a strong strong entry, this early...
And on top of all that, Andy, what the Vikings did was unforgivable.
Unforgivable and...
Let's not gloss over
that. As yet, unapologised for. Let's not... truly awful things, the email concludes. Without further ado, we give you Dickus Maximus Norwegicus. So, thank you for that, Kaija and Maria.
Thank you, Buglers. Don't forget, if you want to donate to the Bugle Fund to keep us free, flourishing and independent, go to thebuglepodcast.com. Another dive into the official history of the world tomorrow.